As we attune to the changing nature of experience, sometimes there is a feeling of a kind of a perception of stopping of change, kind of almost like things feel like they come into a shift of just stopping. And if that happens, just notice, oh, stopping. Experience of stopping is happening. Be curious about that. No need to make a judgment about that. This is just the conditions of the experience of potentially a perception of something that we're perceiving as more solid. The perception has shifted from noticing change to noticing a perception of a concept, perhaps. And concepts the mind can stabilize in concept, and it feels like things stop. You're just noticing that. It also can at times be useful in, as we're noticing change, as we're noticing this flow of experience, we're less perhaps involved in the kind of specifics of the experience, the specific nature of the experience. We may not be, for instance, noticing all the details of pressure and pulsing and tingling and pitch and tone and the arising of pleasant or unpleasant, but we may be aware of just a changing quality of change. And as we're aware of that quality of change, just as we can have relationships with experiences of the specifics of experience, we can have relationships to how we're noticing change. Sometimes it's very delightful to be noticing change. And so noticing that relationship, delight is happening along with this changing flow of experience. At other times, the experience of that change there may be a sense of confusion or fear even that can happen along with noticing change, especially at times if we're noticing things end, the ending of things, it can sometimes feel like everything's slipping away. And there can be a sense of sadness, of loss, of grief, of confusion, of fear. Just noticing the relationship. Also include that as a part of what you notice. We notice change at many different levels of experience. We can notice change of the course of a day, you know, the warmth that builds up over the course of a day. We can notice the change in our bodies as the food digests and we become hungry again. So there are some very gross, obvious levels of change that we can also tune into. And then there are the more, the deeper levels of change. And the deeper levels of change are where some of the Dharma understanding really begins to come to fruition as we really begin to see just how impermanent experience is. And yet we also have relationships to this broader level of change. We appreciate, you know, certain things when something some idea of something pleasant is in our environment. We like that, though. The arising of that, we appreciate that. When that thing ends, we tend to not like that. When something unpleasant comes into our field or something we are perceiving as unpleasant, usually through an idea, we might not like that. And there can be a relationship of resistance, of pushing away. And so it's useful to notice our relationships to not only the more refined change, but also the bigger changes that happen through our day. All right, this relationship that's happening here, this emotional response, is related to change. Often because we're holding on to certain conditions, liking certain conditions, or maybe not liking certain conditions that are here, and then the delight when those conditions change. You're just noticing the relationship. And with that in mind, the conditions and the container are going to change today. We're going to introduce a new object for your practice, and that is of talking. Now, notice your relationship to that idea. All that has happened is that I've said something. What's happening? Is there resistance? Excitement? Confusion? Despair? The thought, what are they thinking? They've ruined the retreat? What's coming up? What's arising? So just sit with that for a moment. So that hopefully you'll be able to hear the rest of what I say. Okay, so now I'm going to describe how this is going to happen. First thing I'm going to say, we are not going to turn to each other in dyads in this room. We are not breaking silence in the building. The container of silence remains in the building. The container of silence remains largely on the property as a whole, except for one place, and that will be in the orchard on that side of the building, that area below the parking lot on the front side of the building. The other big thing to know about this is optional. You may participate if you wish. Okay, so now notice your relationship. Having a little more information. The purpose of this is practice. We are interested in cultivating this capacity for mindfulness in all aspects of our life. Talking tends to be one of the very hardest places to bring mindfulness. And we don't often have a container in which there's a momentum of mindfulness in which to practice this very difficult experience, being mindful while speaking. And so this is part of why we offer this here within a very strong container of silence and the choice of when to engage as it works for you. Because basically for the bulk of the day between the ending of this sitting and between until the dinner bell rings at 5 o'clock, and that you know, of course, during the times that we're together. So at the 4 o'clock sitting, there will not be talking, kind of in this form. But between 9:30 and 5, there is the option to meet up with somebody and have what I would encourage to be a brief conversation in which the intention is to practice being mindful while speaking. That's the point of it. And I would encourage these meetings to be short, because it is hard. And the longer you do it, the more likely you are to get lost. And so I'd say, 10 minutes max for one of these conversations. So this, one of the things that for me this really points to, the practice in the retreat container, one of the things it really helped me to see when I was at Shui U Min in particular, the container there is, talking is permitted pretty much all the time. And the meditation hall is silent, but everywhere else talking is permitted. And so I held myself in silence for most of the day. I had a period that I had a conversation with a friend. I was there with a friend, and after dinner, in the evening, when it cooled off, this seemed to be when many people kind of paired up and did a walk and talk. And so I did that with one friend, and we had Dharma conversation about what we were noticing. We just had a conversation about what's happening in your practice. And it ended up being very supportive. And the other thing I began to notice as I did this regularly was just how malleable the mind is when it is present. The mind can shift kind of levels of engagement and be very present at many different levels. We can be present in a conversation, fully present in a conversation. And this I began to really see. I could have a conversation, very engaged, animated conversation, and then go back to my room to sit. And there were conditions following that conversation that there was more energy in the body. And so that was noticed. But what there wasn't in the mind at that point was something along the lines of, oh, having been talking, this is going to take me forever to settle down. This was a problem. I should never have had that conversation because that really just blew my mindfulness. That was not arising. There was more the curiosity. Oh, here are the conditions. There's new conditions. What's this like? And, oh, there's energy in the body. Okay, I can be with that energy. And what happened was very quickly the mindfulness began to, it's like I felt like the level of mindfulness shifted from more of an ordinary kind of everyday level of mindfulness down into a much more stable, concentrated, moment-to-moment mindfulness around detailed experience. Just the malleability of the mind to shift levels of perception, levels of experience, from the ordinary level of perception to the very precise, refined levels of perception. The mind can shift these levels very quickly. And often we have the idea, if we've had a conversation, at least I know I had this idea, that earlier in my practice, if I had a conversation, I remember one point having had to have a conversation because I needed to tell the staff at IMS that somebody had been injured in the meditation hall. And I walked into the staff room and it was a party going on. It was Halloween. And I was kind of blown out of the hall, out of the dining room, and somebody saw me and kind of followed me out and asked me what I needed, and I told them what had happened. And I went back to my room to meditate, and what happened there was I sat there, it's like, it's going to take me forever to settle. Right breath, okay. Oh, it's going to take me forever to settle. Why did this have to happen? Wait, oh, breath, okay. My mind kept agitating itself because of the thoughts. And it did take a long time to settle. But there's nothing inherent in having a conversation or engaging that means mindfulness can't be present. And so this is an encouragement to notice just how flexible the mind can be when mindfulness can be here. So I'm going to give a few kind of tips around how to do this. First, what we're going to be doing. I'll save that. So I would say this is not a time for general conversation. This is not time for get-to-know-you conversation. It's also not a time if you have got your eye on somebody and thinking about, really want to talk to that person. Maybe this isn't the time to connect with that person, saving that for the end of the retreat. So that this can be a really simple kind of conversation. So not a kind of get-to-know-you conversation. I'd encourage you to keep the conversation about here and now. That would be one of the first ways to explore a mindful conversation, is just to basically to start by talking about what it feels like to be talking. That's one exploration. The other is to keep the conversation in the realm of Dharma. Because if you're talking about Dharma, there's much more likelihood that awareness will be close by. If you start talking about where you live or what you do for your daily job, very likely the mind is going to move into its habits around not being aware, because generally we tend to lose awareness when our mind shifts into those terrains. So keeping the experience in the realm of the Dharma. You could talk something about what you're learning or noticing, what you're curious about in terms of your experience. I would also say that this is probably not the time to reveal your deepest insight. We can be very tender, and so reflecting on what feels safe for you to talk about. Sometimes we might feel, oh, this means I'm supposed to talk about everything. And reflect on what feels appropriate for you before you move into the conversation. So I'm going to offer you just a few tips right now about how to engage with this, and some things to reflect on. And then I have a little handout with about 7 or 8 little tips that I'll put down by the Kuan Yin that's in the community hall that you can pick up and have with you. But the first one that I'll point to is, for me, when I began this practice or began trying to be mindful while speaking, at first when I explored it, there wasn't a lot of instruction about it, really. I had these like dyad things that we did after the end of retreat, but that was about it until I got to Shui U Min. And what I began to discover is, like, I was trying to be mindful in the way that I'm sitting when I was talking, and that wasn't quite available. Trying to be aware of all the details of everything that was happening. It was too much. It was too much doing. And so what I began to recognize at one point, I ended up having a conversation with somebody. And what was so helpful for me with this particular person was that it was very clear this person was being mindful while they were speaking. And that brought me into mindfulness while speaking. And what was so simple about it was that I was simply aware that I was speaking while I was speaking. It was just that simple. And so keeping it, sometimes we can just try, you know, keep it at that level. Can you be aware that you're talking while you're talking? Just that kind of simplicity. Can you know that you're talking while you're talking? And probably mindfulness will get lost. At some point, mindfulness will come back. Just notice that pattern, you know, the return of mindfulness. Mindfulness gets lost. Mindfulness comes back. Seeing if you can be, know that you're talking while you're talking. And then another thing that I'd encourage is as you begin to be able to know that you're talking while you're talking, it can be helpful to check in just at a simple level. This is kind of checking the attitude in a way. Is there agitation or is there ease while you're talking? Just really simple. Is there agitation or ease while you're talking? If there's agitation, it may be useful to just, you know, to in this kind of situation, there's permission to recognize, wow, mind is getting a little busy and agitated. Can we come into silence for a moment? And then take a pause. Taking a pause can be another useful thing, you know, in this kind of form where you're both encouraging. It's like you can support each other to be mindful while speaking by pausing before speaking. Can also be helpful at the beginning when you come together to start with relaxation. And this is what we do when we sit down. Relax. See if there can be relaxation. Just connect. Maybe allowing a kind of the pace of the conversation to be quiet and maybe a little slower. So keep track of the volume and the pace of the conversation. Slowing down the conversation and keeping the volume down can, often we speed up in our speech and the volume will go up when we lose mindfulness. So that can also be a support to stay a little more present. So the logistics of this, some of you may be wondering, how am I going to find somebody to talk to? And it can be kind of like this agitation, like we're back in high school or something at the dance. And so noticing, you know, everything that comes up, there's so much that gets revealed in this whole thing. So much interpersonal juice to explore in adding this practice. So when you wish to explore this, and so again, it is available between 9:30 and 5 today and tomorrow. We'll do it both days. And you know, as I said, I'd encourage short conversations, 10 minutes or so. And I'd say try it once, maybe twice today. And maybe your practice of this will simply be thinking about doing it and noticing that response. And that's enough for today. That's okay too. Because even the thought of it gives us something to notice. So that may be your practice today, is just noticing, thinking about doing this. And so again, encouraging a couple of times, short periods. We will have a meetup spot so that you don't have to try to catch somebody's eye or, you know, figure anything out. So there'll be the island in the middle of the parking lot is the meetup spot. So if you would like to have a mindful conversation, go to that place. And somebody else will show up. Sometimes it can take longer, sometimes it can take shorter. So you may be doing waiting meditation. Sometimes for a while that happens, especially at the beginning. Some people, you know, a couple people seem to want to go quickly, but often there's a little bit of a wait, you know, so just you know, patience with somebody showing up. And if you are waiting, notice that, what happens there. You know, what goes on in the mind? Much of what goes on in the mind is ideas related to history. Just be aware of that. Related to your own conditioning, you know, what would go on as you're sitting waiting? A lot of that's going to be related to your conditioning. So notice it. Notice what happens. And so you're sitting there, somebody else comes up, and that's your person. That's who you'll have the conversation with. And then the island itself is silent. That's not where you have the conversation. That's just where you meet. And then going to the orchard in the area below the parking lot, that's where you can have your conversation. The whole aspect of this will be practice. So the thought of when, the first moment you think, maybe I should go to see if somebody's there, wait for somebody to have a conversation. That moment, the talking practice begins for you. What's happening? Does the heart rate go up? What are the emotions that happen? Notice that. Whenever that first thought arises, notice how it feels to approach the island. Notice all of it. After the conversation, I would really encourage to come back. Whatever posture is your most settling posture, whether that's lying or standing or walking or sitting, whatever's your most stabilizing posture, do some of that practice following the conversation. Don't just go get a cup of tea and, you know, put yourself back into your most stable practice posture and notice how it is to have been talking and see what happens there.